morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are in the world. This is Brunch Boxing. I am your host, Matt, and all I gotta say is Rolly is good. You know, wrestling fans know the saying Foley is good, but God damn it, Rolly is good. And when this fight was first announced, I said, hey, Rolly Romero has the chance to do the funniest thing ever, and God damn it, he did it tonight. Rolly Romero with a dominant unanimous decision victory over Ryan Garcia in the middle of Times Square at this Ring Magazine event in New York. What a great performance by Matt. Romero. Hey, what's good? What's good?
What's Bobby? Up, Matt?
Hey, listen, I said it might not go the way people think it's going to go.
Hey,
Bobby.
What did I say? Hey,
yeah.
You see the timeline?
Yeah. Hey, I'm happy for Rolly because Rolly has been much maligned. A lot of the fans don't show him the respect that he deserves because I think he has improved greatly as a fighter. I said this in his last fight, that Rolly Romero showed different wrinkles in his game. And they were, oh, why is he fighting on this card with Canelo? He's boring, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, bro, Rolly has showed different dimensions. He has shown that he is very responsible defensively. You know, I was joking when I called him, you know, the new Pernell Whitaker, but I'm like, yo, Rolly has been very responsible. And today he showed that he kept his hands at home every time. He was never in any type of danger whatsoever the entire fight. He controlled the fight. He kept Ryan at a comfortable distance. He got in his stabs to the body when he needed to. He got a knockdown in round two. And to me, that was just a dominant performance by Rolly Romero. So hats off to him, you know? And you know, it couldn't have happened to a better guy, you know? Like I said, Rolly Romero doesn't get the respect that he deserves. Hopefully, after tonight, boxing fans will show Rolly Romero a little goddamn respect, okay? Guys like Keep It 100 Boxing Ty, you know, guys like King Tut, you know, guys like Ezra, guys like J-Ro, guys like BB. Show Rolly Romero some fucking respect.
Matter of fact, Cliff Roll at? Because Cliff Roll can't stand Rolly. What Cliff Roll at?
Yeah. And you know, listen, it's just funny to me, man. As soon as the fight was announced, I said Rolly got a chance to do the funniest thing ever. And you know, he like, there's no other way to put it except that he was dominant. He was fucking dominant.
Yeah, just look up top.
Like, there's no other way to put it except to say that Rolly Romero was dominant in this victory, and a lot of people counted him out. He was a plus 700 underdog for some reason, and I said Ryan Garcia should never be minus 1,000, minus 1,100, minus 1,200 against anybody, you know? And Rolly Romero showed why. Rolly Romero showed that he is, dare I say, one of the best guys.
Don't dare say.
He is one of the best guys in the 147-pound division. Like, so here's the thing. Because I hear you
like good timing.
For those who don't know, that is, that's the host of Brunch Boxing, Ezra, is that Rolly's performance was very repeatable. Rolly could do that every fight, all 12 rounds, he could do that. That's very repeatable. And it seems like nobody has signed, no Vinci code is Rolly Romero. Hold the roll, move laterally,
you know, to the body. You know who Rolly is? Rolly's the new Joseph Parker.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What a great performance. What a great fucking performance. So I wanted to bring in the host of Brunch Boxing, my co-host, who said he wasn't going to watch tonight's action, but it sounds like he did. So
you know how long the boycott lasted?
Ezra boxing. What's going on?
You know how long the boycott lasted? To the last round of the firemen and the police cop. And then I was in there. I said, wait, those guys are fighting each other? Like, let me get in there. This is too messy. This is too messy. I got to get in there. Now, I know you're going to hype up this Rolly thing. An absolutely ridiculous thing to say that he might be one of the best 147 guys. Absolutely ridiculous.
He is.
No. I mean, maybe the division is so bad, but he's not better than Theonis. I still would pick Mario Barros over him. I would still Norman over him. Like, I mean, maybe.
He'll beat Manny Pacquiao.
I don't know. I'm not sure. But here we go. Here's the thing. I will say this. Ryan did not want to be in the ring. Now, he didn't want to be in the ring once he got knocked, hit, and dropped. I agree with you on that. After that, he did nothing. He did absolutely nothing. And I could see, like, kind of Rolly's face, like, this is kind of weird. You know what I mean? Like, this is kind of weird that this guy's not going to do absolutely anything to try to win this fight. And I'm going to take it. At the end of the round, he's kind of like, all right, I don't want anything to get a little more exciting than this. Like, all right, I'll take it. We're going to take another round. And in the 12th round, they just stare at each other. So I'm not like, oh, what a great performance by Rolly. I'm just like, Ryan just absolutely doesn't want to be in there. Somehow, I kept watching a bad performance. They hyped up the Teal one. That was a bad performance. I didn't think that was a great performance either. I was like, it's just whatever. He's kind of struggling. And then I saw the Haney one, and I'm like, this is awful, right? But whatever. He's still got his speed. He's skittish and so afraid to get hit. And then Ryan goes in there and gives us the masterpiece of bad performances of just absolutely not wanting to be in the ring, absolutely not wanting to take a chance, absolutely not wanting to even try to implement something. And just completely just stands there looking at him. Just horrible. I mean, just what a disaster of a night for me, for three guys that at one point were supposed to be the future of the sport. You can get rid of all three names right now. You get rid of all three names right now as something for the sport or top guys for the sport. No, they're not. They were all eliminated tonight. Hold on.
You know something, Ezra? You would fit right in on that broadcast tonight because you're just negative about everything. That broadcast is nothing.
They were right.
Complaining the whole night. And here you are complaining. Let's talk about the great performance by Rolly Romero.
Get him out of here. Get him out of here. I'm tired of it. Not only was it a great performance, Matt. Quiet. I'm more interested in seeing Rolly versus the winner from the co-main than the rematch.
No. Actually, I'm more interested in seeing Rolly versus Boots. Let's get it. The WBA ordered it. The WBA said the winner of Boots versus Giasov will be ordered to fight the winner of Rolly versus Ryan. Rolly won. Let's see Rolly versus Boots. And I'm going to tell y'all right now, calling it right now, Babe Ruth calling my shot. That fight is not going to go the way y'all think it's going to go. All right.
My only thing, Matt, is... although he did have a great performance tonight, Rolly is tailor-made for Boots because he is a...
Ryan Garcia? He's tailor-made for Ryan, too.
They said the same thing about Ryan. They said he's tailor-made for Ryan. They said the same fucking thing.
Yeah, but Ryan is iffy. One thing about Boots, Boots does take advantage of guys who can't move, and Rolly's not pause. He's not a mover. So
Rolly can move. Rolly can move. See, the thing about Rolly is that Rolly's a lot smarter than people think. So he moved when he needed to, and he held his feet when he needed to.
And the greatest trainer in boxing right now.
Yeah.
And I think both fighters from who was supposed to have that rematch, I think they got worse since their last fight.
Oh yeah, I know what I saw today. I know what I saw April 20th.
I saw one guy scared to exchange with Jose Ramirez, who has been done for the last 2 years.
Let's bring in the other host of Brunch Boxing, the producer of Brunch Boxing, the host of the Swing Rounds podcast, my guy Huey P. What's going on, Huey?
Not much. Just got finished watching that card. I think I'd have to agree with everyone else. It was a lackluster night of fights. I don't think there was much to get excited about outside of Rolly's performance. That was shocking. I don't know that it was exciting, but it was surprising. I definitely didn't see it going that way. When he got the knockdown in the second round, all I could hear in my head was, this fight isn't going to go the way you think it's going to go. So shout out to you on that. But yeah, ultimately, I think Ryan seemed disinterested in fighting after that. Maybe he was afraid of getting hurt. Maybe he just didn't want to be in the ring from the beginning, and he just didn't feel like it. Maybe it's the PEDs. You know, we got to throw that option out there, too.
Can I throw a conspiracy in there, Matt? Can I throw a conspiracy in there?
No, hold on. He didn't feel like being in the ring after he felt Rolly's power. That, listen, when Rolly hit him and knocked him down, that took him right back to the days of the Mayweather gym when Rolly used to kick his fucking ass. He was like, I don't want this no more. I don't want.
Can I throw a conspiracy in there?
Go for it, Ezra.
Now, listen. We could say, oh, he got off drinking, right? And so that's why he's not the behaviors changed. I know that behavior wasn't just drinking. Okay, there was something actually wrong there. And if you remember, they said, oh, well, Ryan's not on the meds and the things for that. And I've heard Mike Tyson talk about it. And he says, you can't be on meds for fighting. I think that Ryan's been in better behavior, right? Been better attitude, hasn't been flipping out. But I think there might be some medication involved. And I think that was a flat performance from a guy that – it seemed like he could not get up for the fight. No matter what they were doing, begging and screaming him, it did not seem like he could get up for this fight.
And that tracks with those types of medications because that's going to affect your temperament. So that could be it. That's reasonable. Ultimately, Rolly was impressive. Tio, I mean, I don't know. I think he struggled a bit. I don't think it was as great of a performance as he thought. He clearly won the fight, but it wasn't like really impressive. I thought he was in there against someone that he clearly had physical advantages over. So he didn't really have to, he wasn't really tested or put in any positions of adversity throughout that fight. And Devin Haney's just I don't know, man. Maybe this was what he needed to get his bearings back and be more comfortable in the ring next time. But at this point in time, I don't know that he is ever, I need to see him comfortable in the ring before I'm going to believe that he will be comfortable in the ring again in his next fight.
Hey, listen, I'll tell you one thing. He won't be comfortable in the ring against Rolly Romero. I'll tell you that. Rolly will make him real uncomfortable. You know, he's going to make a lot of guys uncomfortable. But real quick, I wanted to add in another voice. The official white guy of Brunch Boxing, the Brunch Boxing Bellini Award winner for Cracker of the Year, my guy Vivi. What's going on, Vivi?
Good evening, good evening. You know, I think the negativity from hearing Jim Lampley and Mike Coppinger again has rubbed off on some of the people in here because this was epic. This was like the second coolest thing tonight behind Teofimo Sr. Being drunk as shit and tripping into the ring. That was the best part. But Rolly Romero's performance, the second time was so fucking cool. And Rolly finally getting that big win, so cool. And him doing it against Ryan Garcia, a real piece of shit, so, so cool. It was dominant. He looked fucking amazing. That cannot be overstated. He looks so good. And I am, and now I like top three fights I'm looking forward to in boxing. Rolly versus Barrios is in that top three. I cannot wait for that fight if it happens.
Or Rolly versus Pack.
Hey, who else we got here? Who else want to jump in on the conversation?
All right, I'll say it. Here's the thing with Ezra's negativity, right? Firstly, totally expected. I've never heard a positive thing out of the man's mouth. But two, it's an attempt to downplay the illustrious resume of one Mr. Gervonta Tank Davis. That's what it is. That's what all this is about, right? We just saw one of Gervonta's best wins go out there and put on a masterclass, right? Outboxed Ryan, be defensively impenetrable, fight him behind the jab, right? Make him look like a complete bum. And Ezra's out here just trying to downplay it because he's like, oh, I don't want to give credit to Tank Davis. But let me tell you, that was fantastic. And I'm so happy to see this piece of shit, Ryan Garcia.
You brought a great question, too, Slick, and let me ask you. Did this help Gervonta Tank Davis' resume, or did it hurt it?
Because both guys were in the ring with Tank. He's beaten both of these guys, and he beat a better version of Ryan, probably, and he beat Rolly. So I don't know how it possibly hurts him. I think it's funny math to say it does.
All right, good. I didn't say it does. I just said they're just curious.
But let's be real here. Tank Davis is the winner of tonight, and I think Rolly Romero deserves a mountain of praise and credit for what he did.
Hey, listen. I know y'all don't respect these regular titles, but Rolly Romero, two-division champion, baby.
Two regular title champion?
Rolly
Romero. Oh, you had a real one. Yeah.
Rolly Romero, two-division champion. They could never take it away from you, brother.
By the way.
Is he a Hall of Famer, Matt?
I would love to see him against the other top.
He has a good shot of getting into the Hall of Fame right now.
No, he doesn't.
I will vote for him on my ballot.
I don't know if he gets into the Boxing Hall of Fame, but right now, Rolly Romero is in the Hall of Fame of the hearts and minds of the people. I'll tell you that right now. What a fucking legend that Rolly is. Amazing performance. Amazing performance.
Matt, can we talk about the venue?
No, not yet.
I need to touch on the venue.
I mean, let's talk about it though. Is Rolly Romero at welterweight? I think he's got a good chance against a lot of the top guys.
Oh, name up. I want everybody to be remember what the name said now. Well, name up. Who does he have a chance?
Okay, let's look at the top 10 on TBRB. You want BoxRec, Ring, or TBRB?
Go through the champions first.
Barrios, he has a shot. Brian Norman, I don't think he's beating Brian Norman. Abel Ramos, Giovanni Santillan. I'm not going to say it's out of the realm of possibility. Stanionis, I mean, we got to see how Stanionis comes back, right? He could be damaged. He could be shot. Alexis Rocha, Giasov, he definitely beat fucking Giasov. Tulani Mbenge.
Does he? Wait, he definitely beat Giasov? Definitely?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. I love the confidence of Rolly.
If he fight the way he fought tonight, he beats Brian Norman Jr.
If all those guys fight like Ryan fought tonight, he might go undefeated. You're right. If all those guys
if you stop being negative Nancy for once and actually look at his performance,
oh my God,
instead of the opponent,
you guys are suckers for what happened lately. This is ridiculous. No.
Bobby just said it. He neutralized a puncher.
I don't think it's unreasonable to think that Rolly can fight negatively in the future.
He could, and it won't work against other guys that punch. That's the problem. The guy didn't punch today.
Who else punches?
Hold on. So there's no chance of Rolly beating Brian Norman Jr.
Other guys that punch are going to give him more opportunity to land his power.
Come on, stop it. When did Brian Norman Jr. just become this fucking...
He did it. Rolly just never got any better than what he actually was.
I mean, Rolly has a better win than Brian Norman Jr.
Yeah, that's fine. Everyone would beat the Ryan that fought tonight. I'm sorry. The Ryan that fought tonight was dead in there. He was dead. He was not fighting. Okay, he wasn't punching.
Who are the big punchers at welterweight? Other than Boots, who are the big...
Brian Norman's been cracking. He just cracked last
fight. Okay, all right. So beyond Brian Norman and...
Barrios can crack too. Now, look it. No, Barrios can get... Look.
No, fuck that, because y'all hate Barrios.
No, I don't like... This is why I'm going to finish with it. I'm not high on Barrios.
Hold on. So Barrios did break Uga's face. Barrios did break Uga's face, so he
is... That's why I said, what are they going to match up? They're not going to put Rolly with anyone else besides the Barrios pack winner. Okay, they're not going to put him in with anyone else besides Mario Barrios and Pacquiao.
And he stops Pacquiao.
Hold on. If PBC decides to do that, then they should, because...
Yeah, that's right. I'm with you.
Believe it or not, at 147 pounds, Rolly Romero is the biggest star there.
Yeah, he is.
You could be right about that. Yeah, you could be right about that.
It's the truth.
No, well, I mean, Boots does bigger gates. I don't know if he's going to do a bigger gate than Boots. I don't know about that.
Well, is he the biggest star now that we know a certain guy is coming back to fight Barrios? Gates
is because they didn't sell no tickets to Rolly's fight tonight.
Hey, as the requests aren't working for me, if you want to look through them.
That is true.
Let's have an honest, hard conversation about...
I'm trying to. You guys are over here.
Chakram Giasov. This is a guy that struggled with a 600-year-old Pablo Cesar Canelo.
Are we talking about guys that struggled with old guys? Because did you watch the Barroso fight? Did you watch the Barroso fight where Rolly was under the ropes?
What'd you say?
Did you watch the Barroso fight? Who literally...
Who the fuck is that guy? And he's gotten better.
Who
the fuck is that guy?
He's the guy that almost had Rolly out. What are you talking about?
He's developed. Oh, sorry, he's never mind. I thought you were talking about somebody else. Sorry. The last guy.
And I respect Bobby. You said he got better from that. I don't see it, but okay.
He's developed. Today.
Rolly was a completely different fighter. Yeah,
I think the person that should be getting all the fucking credit for this performance
is Rolly Romero.
Is Ismael Salas, his trainer. Ismael Salas.
The nigga that did it.
Ismael Salas should be trainer of the year just off of this one.
Oh, Jesus.
Ezra, this is... See, but hear me out. You want to have a serious conversation. You want to have a serious conversation. Remember, Ismael Salas is a trainer of Alberto Puello. They brought him in there to lose to Gary Antoine.
Oh, okay,
well, yo, no.
Let me see the play, Bobby.
No. Let me finish.
Shout out Dominican boxing.
Listen, Puello was the underdog, and he beat Gary Antoine. He had a good fight versus Matias. He won that one. Adames was the underdog against the Turkey's guy. Adames had a great performance. He had a great performance. He had a draw, but that was a robbery. Come on, Israel, stop it. And now fucking Rolly.
I ain't gonna lie. All right, that was a good one. All right, I like how you pulled that.
Silas just did the impossible. He fucking somehow got Rolly to get a victory.
Why are we laughing? Ismael Salas is one of the most prestigious and accomplished trainers in boxing history.
That's fine. This one win isn't going to make you trainer of the year. This one win isn't going to make you trainer of the year.
But it's not just one win.
This is who he did it with.
Three good wins. I just named three good wins.
Those are okay wins, yeah.
One was a draw.
No.
That shit was a robbery. What the fuck am I faced with that draw bullshit?
Before we start giving out awards, we need to get back to Rolly's performance, okay? Because remember it on the Canelo undercard, I said that Rolly had a good performance. He looked very defensively sound, and a lot of you guys was laughing at it. And we saw it again tonight.
I'm still laughing at it.
This is just how Rolly fights now.
Didn't you compare him to Pernell Whitaker?
I did.
He looked like a prime Pernell Whitaker.
I did.
Hey guys, can I ask a genuine question from a guy in Scotland here? This stuff. Obviously, Josh Taylor's had a couple of bad years, but I guarantee you Josh Taylor is watching that event tonight and thinking, I could have beat any of those guys, because at his best, he would have beat guys.
I don't know what Josh Taylor could have did at his best, but Josh Taylor's best was like 4 years ago. It's over.
Like,
take the L out of love it, it's over, brother.
That's my point.
Josh Taylor is too scared to do what Rolly did and actually move up to 147, because Josh Taylor knows he's fooled if he don't have a weight advantage.
Mm.
So he's going to stay at 140 until his body won't pause, put him on a scale again, because he don't want to go up there and get beat up at 147.
Obviously he's fighting Nico Essamin soon, a decent fighter. I think this is going to be... I mean, he's got a year. If he doesn't push it off in this year, that's it. It's over for him. But I think he might be in contention again. You never know.
Next fight is at welter.
How can Josh Taylor beat any of those guys on that card? Didn't he get his ass whipped by Tio last time he saw him?
He did.
Tio didn't look good. What my point is, Josh at his best is entertaining and fantastic. And at his best, he would have beat any of those guys tonight.
Well, we got to see it.
Well, let's make everybody at their best.
Josh Taylor.
Josh Taylor's next fight, he's going to need 2 years to get down to 140. So, I mean, we don't know who he's going to fight. It might be a prospect by the time he's ready to fight.
Why do you keep saying he's fighting at 140?
Because he's not ever going to move up to 47.
But he is. His next fight's at welter.
Who's he fighting?
No, we're getting distracted. Wait, we're getting distracted by Josh Taylor.
Yeah, y'all get back to the Rolly, man.
Now, I always say he's fighting Nick Westerman.
Matt.
Book Rolly
going forward. Book him.
No, we're not booking Rolly yet, because my man from the underground, What Up Though, is in the States. I want to hear from Gritty. Gritty, what'd you think of Rolly's performance tonight?
What up, though? I thought it was a good performance. I'm not going to say I'm super shocked, because I'm not high. You know, I know a lot of y'all know I'm not high on Ryan and his skills anyway. I am shocked that the way that the fight went. Like, I think he just took the confidence out of Rolly early. I mean, out of Ryan real early. And he kept some smart pressure on. I think he did a lot of little sneaky things in there. I like the performance. That's the best I've seen from Rolly in a long fucking time.
I'm going to say this, just the one thing about that took the confidence away from him and everything. This is the same Ryan that's been dropped before and still come back to come forward. It wasn't even as bad as a knockdown as what it was when he got knocked down by the, I can't think of his name right now, the English fighter. You know what I mean? And he still came forward to that fight and applied Luke pressure. Campbell.
And also, this is Ryan's first fight in at least 2 years without using Ostrich.
Okay, we can say that. That's a fair point. That's a fair point, right? That this performance would be like, hey, what the hell? You know what I mean?
I didn't think the Austrian was, you know, saying it, but looking at today, that could have been it. I mean,
that could be. That's a very valid case that you could make with the example. But I'm just going to say, mentality wise, I'm just telling you, this guy did not want to be in there. This is a guy that was not, has never been afraid to at least unleash some shots. He did not, had no energy, didn't look like he wanted to be in there. Mentally, they're begging him to throw punches. He wasn't throwing punches. Yeah. He was not taking any chances.
I think the Luke Campbell comparison is a bit of a stretch, but he did also get dropped by Tank with an overhand Tank, left, and he got up and kept fighting. So, like, you were 100% right in that. I agree.
Hold up. I want to counter that, though, and say one thing, which is that Ryan has one of the best left hooks in the sport, right? And, you know, he tried throwing it a number of times, and you know what? Rolly neutralized it, right? He was catching it on his gloves, right? He was kind of leaning backwards and neutralizing it. I don't think we're giving Rolly the credit he deserves for how much he neutralized.
No, you guys are all literally giving Rolly as much credit as you possibly can. Well, everyone in here besides me is giving Rolly as much credit as
possibly can. Okay, let me ask you this, Ezra. Strictly Rolly's performance, Ezra, what made it not a good performance from Rolly?
It wasn't a good performance. I'm just not going to overrate it because I realized that the guy in front of him didn't want to be in there. So what I'm going to do is this. Next time Rolly fights and he fights a good guy and he gets smoked, I'm not going to be stunned.
But guess what? Hold on. But here's why you got to give him credit, right? Here's why you got to give him credit. We saw a fight where a guy didn't want to be in the ring and the opponent stood there and do nothing. And I'm talking about Shakur versus De Los Santos. Rolly still went in there. No. Both of those guys did not want to be in the ring. Even if you say that Ryan Garcia didn't want to be in the ring, Rolly still went in there and fought his fight.
Hold on. Skills wise, don't compare Rolly to De Los Santos, bro. Stop it. That's disrespectful. I know you like to shit on him.
Man, we're not talking about De Los Santos. He's staying.
Fucking Rolly. Hey, man. Rolly Romero already got cooked by one Dominican, Jackson Mariñas.
Exactly. Y'all forget Mariñas fucking outboxed him. And then he got
Rolly can move down to 140 tomorrow and stop De Los Santos.
You're out of your mind, Todd.
Are we getting detoured, Bobby?
We are getting very detoured.
I can't hear anything. It sounds like a bunch of chickens talking right now. Real quick, I want to bring in the OG from DC, my God, the real Telly. Telly, what's going on, man? Talk to me about what you saw tonight, Telly. We need the OG's perspective.
All right, so look, listen, this is how I see it, right? I saw a lot of guys afraid to go out on their shield tonight. When was it okay to not go out on your shield? When did it become okay to not go out on your shield? Back in the day when nobody was protecting their O, everybody said, you know what, it's either me or you, and I'm going to go out on my shield going for this victory. It seemed like to me that Ryan was scared to open up and go out on his shield. Devin was scared to open up and go out on his shield. You got too many guys now because of social media and all that shit afraid to get embarrassed. But that's the sport that they chose to get into. You got too many dudes not willing to open up, and it's affecting the fans. Like, it's us that pay our money. It's us that see that shit. We want somebody to go out on their fucking shield, and everybody protecting O's, everybody afraid to get embarrassed. Nah, fuck that. I'm gonna tell you what I saw tonight. I saw a bunch of bad fighters. Devin Haney, to me, is a bad fighter. He don't pass my eye test. Ryan is a bad fighter. He does not pass my eye test. And I said this about Devin years ago. I said this about Ryan Rizzi years ago. And Rolly, oh my God, he never passed the eye test to me. He's also a bad fighter. We watching bad fighters fight. Bad fighters scared to go out on their shield, and we blaming PDs and all kinds of other dumbass shit on why fighters win or lose. That shit ain't got nothing to do with hand-eye coordination. All that shit got to do maybe with is a little bit of power, but you still got to get caught with hand-eye coordination for that power and PDs to take effect. All I'm saying is, when did it become okay to not go out on your shield? Somebody please tell me.
So here's what I'll say to that, Charlie. I don't think it was a matter of guys not going out on their shield. I think what we saw tonight was bad matchmaking. You basically had a bunch of basically set up fights to set up something bigger. You had marination fights, and these guys thought that they could just show up against these opponents that were huge underdogs, and they were gonna like be victorious as long as they saw the final bell. That's what you saw tonight. You saw Ryan and Devin Haney more interested in fighting each other than fighting their opponents. And you saw Rolly Romero take advantage of that. That's what you saw. Rolly Romero focuses on one opponent at a time. You never hear him talk about, I'm going to fight this guy and this guy. No, no. Rolly focuses on the guy in front of him. And to me, he put on the best performance of his career. And I think this is the Rolly we're going to see going forward. This is just his style now.
Man.
He's economical with his punches. He's economical with his punches, and he's very disciplined on defense. That's the new Rolly Romero, and people got to get used to it.
Matt, listen, you and I have been watching boxing for a long time, bro, and we know what good boxers look like. You can't tell me that you watch Rolly and you can really convince yourself into saying, this is a good fighter. No way. That's why I talk about the eye test, right? We've been doing this a long time, Matt. You cannot tell me Rolly Romero is a good fighter. You cannot tell me what you saw in Jeff Haney tonight makes him a good fighter.
But here's what I'll tell you about Rolly. Rolly is a guy who gets the most out of his limited gifts. He's a limited fighter, but he makes the best of his athleticism. He makes the best of his power. He makes the best of whatever it is that he learned on the fly. Don't forget, Rolly didn't start boxing until very, very late, okay? Very, very late. And he is still learning. So to me, Rolly hasn't even hit his peak yet. He's just a guy that's been basically thrust into boxing, and he's been learning on the job. And he's getting better and better and better and better. So we don't know what Rolly Romero is going to look like a year from now. But what we do know is that as of right now, he is one of the best guys at 147 pounds.
And I think he's...
And Matt, I do want to flag that Rolly himself said that Ryan Garcia is a tremendous fighter. There's only two fighters in boxing that he can't beat. And he did say that was Gervonta Davis and himself. And so far, he's correct. You have to give him credit for that.
Also, I do think it was a missed opportunity for Rolly in that post-fight. That was a bad post-fight interview. He should have got as crazy. He deserved to be as crazy as he wanted to be and talk as much as he wanted to.
No, why? But why?
But Rolly lost to a 50-year-old man. Come on, y'all.
No, Rolly humble now. Y'all ain't know.
Well, that's a good selling point for Rolly.
Ezra, Rolly has been going to therapy, and you can see the difference.
Matter of fact, since Tio, when did he do the interview with him and Tio?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, there that is.
Good timing. That's good.
What is it with Ezra that he doesn't want to give this guy any type of credit?
I give him credit. Got the win.
I just want to say that I think there's a habit among a lot of fans to kind of see an unorthodox fighter like what we saw with Rolly and just immediately be like, oh, he sucks, right? He doesn't.
No, Toothlick, we've seen him fight before. He's not new. We've watched him fail.
He doesn't have the same, you know, that kind of style that people like that's like, you know, pure boxing, whatever. But Rolly made it work. He adjusted, right? He showed what he had to do to go out there and neutralize one of the best left hooks of the game. He out-muscled. He out-strengthed Ryan. He did everything he needed to do. And I think a lot of people right here, again, just to circle back to my original point, they're doing this just because they want to downplay the accomplishments of Mr. Gervonta Tank Davis. And I think we have to be ourselves about this.
Well, first of all, I'm the only guy doing it. So I'm not downplaying Tank Davis. Tank Davis beat both guys. I don't have to downplay one, right? If I was doing that, I'd be negative on it. It's not that. I've seen Rolly fight before. Rolly's not new. He didn't do anything new. He's used the strategy before. I've seen him against Esau Cruz. I mean, what are we doing here? I don't know what we're doing here.
Rolly is new. He's been learning that. And I told you that in his last fight. Real quick, let me get my guy from the UK, Red Corner Boxing. My guy, Neutral. What's going on, Neutral?
Yes, Matt, thanks very much. You, Toothlick, and others have actually nailed it on the head. That was a fantastic performance from Rolly Romero. Nobody gave him a chance. And put some respect on that lad's name, you know. And if, you know, Ezra, I have to come to you. If you remember the Tank fight, Rolly was up on the cards, right? Rolly was up on the cards. And only when he got sloppy did he get punished. If that had gone the distance, that could have been a different outcome. So don't judge him on that.
That's pretty much every Tank fight.
Right? So
that's every Tank fight. I don't understand that. He accomplished what
Yeah, but a lot still of don't take the accomplishment away. And with Pitbull, that was just a style fight that, you know, he couldn't cope with that swarm of that weak guy. But he'll learn from it. And at 147, I said on my own show in my watch along, Rowley at the weigh-in looked fantastic. That's the best I'd ever seen him look physically. You know, pause and all that crap.
Good pause.
Thank you.
That was the best he looked in boxing terms that I've ever seen him. And he brought that power to 147. He looked so good at the weight. So he deserves Boots next. He is mandated to fight Boots. He's the only one I would see apart from maybe Brian Norman Jr. Barrios is away with the clouds with PBC in this fucking Pacquiao fight. So I hope he gets a big fight next. The judges and the whole event were hoping for the Heaney and Garcia rematch. I still think it's going to happen. There's nothing changing that. But Garcia made Heaney look even worse tonight.
I will say the judges were fair today. I mean, the judges deserve credit. They wasn't even close to the scorecards for the Rowley fight. You know what I mean? So they deserve credit. It was good judging today.
Yeah, I'm surprised Turk Alashik didn't stand up and talk to the judges.
He never does. That's why he's fair.
He was actually sleeping.
Yeah, and let's mention the fact that everybody has an excuse about how drained a fighter is. Why are we not considering that maybe Rowley just is right for 147? He's a big guy, right? Maybe this is where he should be. Maybe this is a product of, you know, him just being healthy, being kind of better in his skin, you know, so to say, and not drained. Why are we not considering this?
This is good. Let's consider
this. Well, listen, since Rowley's a hot commodity, I need him to fight my guy, Rohan Polanco, next. Let Rohan Polanco get some clout and beat the shit.
Let Rohan win his fight tomorrow night first.
In what world does he fight Rohan Polanco next? I just care. It's like star name.
They'll never put him there with Rohan.
But yeah, Because of name value.
He's only got 11 fights. He's got a long way to go yet.
Rohan gotta cook Fabian Maidana on Sunday night.
Where does Jack Catterall fit in now?
Nowhere.
Catterall?
No. Sadly, yes, no. Nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll be looking for that trilogy with Taylor next.
We need to pause for some housekeeping. Make sure you guys go follow all the Brunch Boxing accounts. Brunch Boxing, Huey P, Ninja Turtle, Ezra Boxing, and my account. If you could hear my voice, I put it up on a big board. Make sure you guys go follow all the Brunch Boxing accounts. We really appreciate it. I want to bring in someone who watches boxing, but he's probably in mourning right now because Lakers were in five, but they left in five. My guy Jake Gould, what's going on, Jake? How'd you feel about the fights tonight?
Hey, man, low blow. I was actually rooting for your Knicks, man. But you know what? We keep it pushing. As he's hating on my Lakers and our Lakers. That's all good.
I don't like that introduction.
It is what it is. But I definitely want to kind of take this in terms of like what's next, because I know there could be the angle to selling Haney Garcia about both guys having something to prove, but that's just not what I want to see. Like, the thing for me is all these guys normally took damage like that, so really the best thing for all of them is to just get back in the gym as soon as possible, book another fight. Now, how that all should be, I'm not sure, but I kind of want to hear what you guys think about like some of these matchups. So for me, I think, look, fighting words from Tao Sr. and Bill Haney could easily make a fight happen between those two. So I think that could happen, Tao and Devin. But for Ryan, I know Blair Cobbs isn't really with Golden Boy anymore, but Ryan versus a Blair Cobbs feels like a good fight to make next, just because you got to really kind of build him back and get him active. And if boxing was actually a meritocracy, I would not say what I'm about to say right now, but just please hear me out. Ryan versus Adrian Broner. And because, look, that fight can happen at 47, or if Adrian Broner can't make weight, you're saying, okay, it's 54, whatever you want to do.
Hey, Jake, I got to tell you, when you said Ryan versus Adrian Broner, you got my blood flowing in all the right places, my man. That is what
I'm talking about. Oh, man, I couldn't hold back there.
That is what I'm talking about, Jake. That's what we need. Whatever it is going on in your brain that made you say that, that's what we need from you, Jake.
I'm just saying, man. Look, I this is look, social media carries this shit. We want to get in our purist angle sometimes, but we got to know that, like, that shit's going to, like, make people start talking about, hey, you ordering the fight? Yeah, it doesn't matter you know what I mean?
Has he fell that far down now from that performance?
We just seen Broner get beat up in a pool hall by Blair Cobbs. Why would we want to see him fight?
I will say this. The performance tonight was Broner-esque. I will say that. You guys didn't want to throw punches.
Here's the thing, though.
No, because the band
matters. I think the real issue here is that Broner and Blair Cobbs are stuck in Don King purgatory, and they're never getting out of that contract.
Yes. That's facts.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
I fancy that Ryan Garcia might be put off by the Heaney fight next, you know, maybe due to the lack of interest after that performance. And the only way, you know, that he'll make money is to look at possibly a PPV event in the UK with Conor Benn. And by the way, Conor Benn, who was there tonight, he must have been licking his fucking lips at what he saw tonight, because he destroyed half of them 147.
Conor Benn, who just lost to Chris Eubank?
Don't even go there. Conor Benn just fought a fucking light heavyweight, 175 pounds.
We're talking about how Ryan Garcia looked.
Don't go there, mate. Don't go there, right? He's just fought a 175 pounder in the ring.
Let him fight again.
We talk about how Ryan Garcia looked off of PEDs. We're not going to talk about how he looked off PEDs.
So you didn't think Conor Benn had residual power going into that fight when you went rocked him 4 or 5 times?
UK fighters. 175. Leave the UK fighters in the UK.
Listen, after what you saw tonight, don't you dare compare UK fights to fucking that shite.
That was better than UK fighters. They are all club fighters over there in the UK.
You muppet. Get out of here.
Them niggas stink. Lead them over there fighting in the Eddie Hearn backyard. This is America. We're worried about American fighters.
Heaney and Teal stunk the place out, lad. Get out of control here, Matt.
Listen, Ezra, I need you to run the zoo like Gerald McGrew. What would you do if you were a Ryan Garcia? What's next for him? And what's next for Rolly Romero, in your estimation?
If I'm Rolly, I'm going to wait for the Barrios pack winner. I'm going to fight the Barrios pack winner. I'm not going to fight Boots. I don't care what anyone says. That's a bad idea. I'm not going to fight any Norman. That's a bad idea. I'm going to wait for that. I like that. I like the winner of that fight for me. And that's a big fight. Okay. That's what I'm going to do. Now, if I'm Ryan, I got to be honest with you. What are you going to do? Another tune-up? Another thing? I don't know. I don't even know if he really wants to fight anymore. I say you just go forward with this Haney fight, honestly. I mean, when Haney fought, after that, I was like, how are they going to sell this fight? Haney looked terrible in that fight. Well, Ryan looked more awful. So you still go to it. There's two guys. I know Turkey really don't care. Just get those guys in there. Have them fight each other. And with Teofimo, he's going to fight. I think he should fight Hitchens. Fight Hitchens. That's the kind of fight you need. To keep proving like you're legit a top guy. I wasn't as impressed with his performance as the announcers were. You know what I mean? The commentators were, where they were saying he was unbeatable 3 times. They said, I think he's unbeatable. Every time they said, they got hit with the right hand. I think he's unbeatable. So to put him with Hitchens, I think that's a good fight. And that's why I would go forward with this.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. If I'm Rolly Romero, I'm fighting Boots. I want Boots. Bring on Boots. Everybody says nobody wants to fight Boots. Well, Rolly Romero would fight Boots, because Rolly Romero will fight anybody. Like, when are people going to realize that? Rolly Romero don't duck no smoke. He don't duck no smoke. This is a guy that went in the ring with Tank, Isak Cruz, and with Ryan Garcia. You know, Rolly Romero's starting to, you know, okay. All right, guys. He's starting to build a little bit of something here. Now, as for Ryan Garcia, Jake's idea, I want to see Ryan Garcia versus Adrian Broner. Let's just do it. Like, let's put Ryan Garcia on the circus tour. That's where he's at now. He's on the circus tour. Maybe he could fight Jake Paul. Maybe if Jake Paul could beat Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., he could fight Ryan Garcia next. It's time to put Ryan out the pasture, put him on the circus tour, and let him do his true calling, his YouTube influencer boxing. All right, Vivi, you're up.
I've fantasy booked this card, the future for this card, and I think I like where I'm going with this. I like Rolly versus Barrios or Pacquiao. I think Devin Haney and Teofimo Lopez, it makes sense for them to now fight each other. I think Teofimo is going to move up, so do that at 147. I think Cryan should fight Alexis Rocha. I think that's a pretty good fight. And then Arnold Barboza can do whatever the fuck he wants. Put him back on undercards. Put him against fucking Jacob Fatu. Do whatever you want with him.
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
What's wrong with what you're hearing? I'm curious.
You guys are talking about Garcia, right? Okay, I'm not a Garcia fan. I don't like drug cheats in this sport. They can all fuck off. But you're talking about him fighting Broner or Jake Paul. Whatever happened to any credibility?
Garcia isn't...
I mean, he would fight Jake Paul for money, but come on. Come on. This is bullshit. Come on.
I hate to say it, but you're about to watch Tank fight Jake Paul pretty soon.
I mean, I'd argue that I didn't see a world-class fighter in the ring tonight, so I don't know why we want to match him up with other world-class fighters. No,
that's never happened. Tank and Jake Paul, that'll never happen.
No, it almost did happen. We got a draw.
What do you mean almost? There's no such thing as almost in boxing.
Yes, there is. What do you mean? Of course there is. What are we talking about here?
Wait, almost. What do you mean? With contract signed?
Yes, I can't believe so.
Matt, no, they weren't signed. Ezzy, you're making stuff up.
Was Jake Paul on the thing to announce the fight after the road fight? Listen, what are we doing here?
Come on, Matt, have a watch.
Ezra, you're talking bollocks.
No, I'm not. I'm the only one talking sense here. I don't know what's going on here. We eliminated the word almost in boxing?
Control yourself, sir. Control yourself.
If a contract was signed, it means it'd be legally binding. So clearly, I'm
you Thank you. Thank you, right.
Wait, are you unaware that Tank and Jake Paul is about to happen? You run the show.
All right. Listen, let's get to the.
You said contract signed. If a contract was signed, it'd be legally binding. So a contract hasn't been signed. As simple as that.
The only reason it didn't happen is because he has a contract because the draw and Roach has a rematch.
And he's and he's 70 pounds fucking lighter.
Roach did not have a rematch clause. Let's not put that out there. He did not have a rematch clause.
So Tank doesn't have to fight him next.
No, Tank doesn't have to fight him.
Oh, okay. So then he's probably not. He's probably gonna fight Jake Paul.
Tank is choosing to fight him next.
And who was the other option, Matt? Matt, who was the other option?
Listen, I'm not here to talk about the past. All right, let's get to the co-feature of the evening, the second main event, because they called all three fights main events, by the way. And I got to tell
you,
and listen, like Bill Parcells said, if you think you got more than one quarterback, you ain't got no quarterbacks. And if you think you got more than one main event, you ain't got no main event, because all these fights were not main event worthy.
Maybe they'll just call the whole card's main event going forward. Yeah. They're doing it with Shakur and Berlanga. Maybe just everything. Like, hey, that was our first main event. Let's get to our second main event.
Now, Devin Haney, unanimous decision victory, dominant over Jose Ramirez. Not much went on in the fight, but Jose Ramirez couldn't do anything with Devin Haney. I got to say, I really enjoyed Devin Haney's performance. I thought Devin Haney had a great performance. And here's why. Devin Haney decided to do what he was supposed to do in the first place. Stop trying to do the shoulder roll and the upper body movement and the move this, move that. Devin Haney used his legs to do defense tonight instead of using his upper body. And I think that should be his style going forward because it's clear that he doesn't like getting hit. So just use your legs now. You're at 147 now. You should have more energy now. Just use your legs the entire fight. I thought his lateral movement looked excellent. Jose Ramirez could not do nothing with him. Jose Ramirez couldn't even set up to throw a shot against him. I thought Devin Haney had a great performance, a great defensive performance. Was it boring? Yes, it was boring. I admit that. But that is the style that Devin Haney needs to fight in order to be successful, in my opinion. What are your thoughts, Ezra?
Well, it makes sense why you thought the rolling performance was great then. I feel like you're just handing out great performances tonight. But no, it wasn't a great performance. He won, but he had a dead man in front of him. Jose Ramirez is shot. Like, this is the thing where Turki Alashik
is getting kind of tricked and bamboozled by promoters when they're putting matchups together, because getting Jose Ramirez in this fight was a terrible matchup always because Jose Ramirez is shot. And Haney was, of course, going to like move around and be defensive, but he was scared. He was skittish. He was super skittish. And he wasn't ever settling in. And okay, people say, oh, he's afraid to get hit or whatever. Not like this. Not like this. Not before. Before he would get in there, when he had offense, he would land offense. He was afraid to stay in there, land offense. Like, he was moving. He felt like when a guy like their first like amateur fight, and they're just moving around kind of reacting, and they're like, you could tell like they're a little panicky. He was panicky in there. He settled in towards the end, but he was fighting a guy that was shot, and he wasn't ever stepping on it. He wasn't stepping the offense up. I don't think that he's a lesser fighter physically after the Ryan, but I think mentally he's kind of a mess right now. So maybe hopefully he got it out with that first fight, and the next fight's a better performance, but it was not a great performance. It was just a clear victory for him.
I agree with Ezra. I think my non-biased opinion, I feel like the fight was for him to make a show and show that he was back and put on some type of performance. But like you said, he looked scared to engage. He was on his bike early in the fight. I believe at one point Tarver was saying he wasn't even throwing his jab, and he really wasn't. And then when he did start letting his hands go, it was a 1-2 and an uppercut and then back on the bike. I feel like with Ramirez being gun-shy, he should at least, you know, put together some combinations and try to, you know, show whatever they worked on in the gym. But it seemed like he came back from the, you know, Shakur Stevenson school of boxing. It just was very lackluster. I don't see how you could give a great performance.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I thought Haney was gun-shy for the first few rounds. Obviously, not pretty to watch him moving laterally around the ring. You know, if you had a pedometer on him, he covered some mileage in that ring tonight. So, and I'm glad you were honest, Matt. You said what you saw it as he done what he needed to do to win the fight. And that's exactly what I saw it as. Yes, he was on the back foot. He was jabbing that. But that was Haney's fight to lose and Ramirez's to win. And Ramirez didn't do enough. You know, he should have identified what Haney was doing. And he should have done more, because that he could have won that fight. But Haney made it, he made it easy for Haney.
Matt, can I ask you what, and this is me being honest, what do you consider that he did, you know, well or great in his fight to give it a great performance?
What he did well was, he used his legs as his defense instead of using the upper body movement like he's been doing in the last few fights. And to me, that's the way he has to fight going forward. Because obviously, his hands are not fast enough to get back home. All right? And maybe he identified that. And maybe that's why he can't get dropped by the left hook. But his legs are fast enough to get the fuck out of range. So you have to adapt with whatever God gives you, man. So he was able to adapt to his lack of defensive awareness in the upper body and use those fucking legs. And he was on his bike. Like I said, it wasn't aesthetically pleasing, but that's the style that he's going to need to fight going forward in order to be successful.
Correct, especially at the bigger weights. That was 143, so he's going to go up to another 4 pound, 147. So that's going to be another acid test in itself in his next fight.
Absolutely. Jake, what'd you think of what you saw with Devin Haney tonight, Jake?
What I'll say with Devin is, yeah, like, I mean, clearly the skill set advantage for him, he's got way better feet. I mean, the thing that was the most shocking for me, though, not really shocking, to be honest, because he's coming off that beatdown and inactivity, but Devin has built his career off the jab. You know, off of being sharp with it, off of being first in exchanges and setting things up with the jab. And to be kind of scared to throw that against somebody with, you know, considerably slower hand speed than a Ryan Garcia just kind of poses trouble for me. And so if I'm Devin, like, obviously it seems like it was, okay, win tonight, look good in the next one. And that seemed to be kind of the theme was, like, earlier with the points that were being made was, yeah, like, what happens when a lot of fights are booked ahead of time is, okay, we're trying not to get knocked out so we can at least, even if it's a ho-hum victory, you still got the contractual terms for the rematch or for whatever the big fights are. So for me, for Devin, it was just not seeing the jab being used the way it should have been. But again, I guess it was, I guess for Devin, it was a win tonight, look good in the next one, and, you know, try to come up with a game plan to, you know, turn people into seeing that Devin once had something going for him with the people and everything like that. And even if he's leaning into being more of the enemy, more of the heel, right? Like, I think he lost in terms of, like, the public didn't gain any more respect for him. But he got the W on paper, and that's really kind of the name of the game, right?
That's definitely the name of the game. And I think he brought up a good point with the jab. But like I said, I think the reason why he wasn't throwing the jab is because he knows that he can't get his hand back home in time to avoid the left hook. So he didn't bother throwing a jab. Devin Haney has a bow and arrow kind of jab where he, like, leans out really far up the jab and he can't get his hand back in time. That's why he kept getting dropped. So he was like, fuck it. I'm not going to throw the jab too much unless I'm absolutely sure it's going to land. And then I'm going to move laterally and get the fuck out the way. And I'm telling you, that I guarantee you that's his new style. I guarantee you guys that is his new style. So if you think tonight was an aberration, I'm telling you right now, you're going to be sadly mistaken, because Devin Haney identified his weakness. He shored it up. He realized, hey, listen, I can't get this right hand back home. I'm every time I throw this jab, I'm open for a counter with a left. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to use my legs and I'm going to keep it moving. If the fans like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. Oh, well, but I'm going to get my hand raised at the end of the night.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It works for Shakur. It's worked for a lot of boxers in the past. And it's a strategy. Some people hate it. Some people appreciate it. And some people will understand it.
Now, my one thing, though, thinking about with Shakur, actually, is, I mean, we've seen Shakur, you know, retreating on his bike as well. But Shakur at least looks comfortable at mid-range, too. Devin, I'm concerned about what range he's going to be comfortable fighting at, because if he's not going to be able to have control with that jab, like, what's that other weapon? What's that weapon for him when he gets in there against somebody who's also got good feet and who can move? Because I just don't know what that's going to be for him. And that's why I feel like, at least against a Jose Ramirez, what I wanted to see out of him was I wanted to see him use that jab so he could get his confidence back. And when he's got bigger names coming up that he wants to fight, he can be like, okay, I do have it still. Like, the opposite of Teofimo. He's like, I still got it? Yeah, I still got it. I still got the jab. And then can set up other things off of that. But yeah, Matt, you bring up a good point. Like, he's figuring out that he's not, you know, the shoulder roll master. He's not, you know, Pernell Whitaker. He's not who he thought he was in that regard. But I think
Shakur only looks comfortable mid-range against certain guys. If you're a puncher, he's not going to fight you mid-range. And I think that's going to be Devin's same thing as well. I think he was too worried about if Ramirez had anything left on those punches to really engage like that.
That was the De Los Santos fight all over again.
Good point about the mid-range, though, with Shakur. I agree there.
All right. Ezra, it's time for you to run the zoo like Joe McGrew. What would you do, Devin Haney? And what would you do, Jose Ramirez?
Jose Ramirez, I think about the pastor. But for Devin Haney, I think he goes to the riot fight. I think after those performances, people will still be curious what that is. Like, it's still circus. It's still like these both guys don't look good, but I still want to see them fight each other. And I think that people would possibly think that, hey, Ryan's probably going to take a beating in this fight. I think Haney's going to get his come up. And so that's going to be, I think it's a selling point for the fight.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, if I'm Haney, I'm going straight into the Ryan fight, or I'm trying to.
You got to repeat that,
Ezra. Is it Ryan fight and retire? If you
get a WBC interim title fight again,
what were we saying, Ted?
No, I'm letting Matt finish because his mic keep cutting in and out. Pause. So go ahead, Matt. What were you saying?
Go ahead. You sound like you had a good question.
No, I was saying after the Ryan fight, is it Ryan fight, they retire?
If he loses, whoever loses that fight goes home. You know what I mean? Like, whoever loses that
fight. Not at 26.
He can go ahead and retire right now, honestly.
I think there was a couple guys on that fight on that card who might want to consider retirement.
Come on, man.
I don't know who ever put the confidence into Barboza that he was a good fighter, but there's nothing good about him as a fighter at all. Like, boring, no power. He is Jermaine Ortiz Sr. I do not want to see him on my screen again. I don't want to see him in no title fight. Just boring, straight up and down.
Hey, yo, I could take it a step further, for real. If you take the four guys, Garcia, Rolly, Lopez, and Haney, this was more evident that Turk don't know what he's doing. Now, I know he's trying to get the best fights out. He's trying to get these cards out at a rapid pace. But all four of these guys are coming off long layoffs. And the ring rust was evident with all four of them, right?
You can't blame him for that because he's going on the names that people have been talking about.
But this is what I'm saying, Mr. Neutral. So if you're going on the names, right, you got this unlimited checkbook that you claim you have. Put four of those guys in the same event tonight, right, against fighters that they can look spectacular against and get the ring rust off.
He failed at it, so he did that, and then paired those four guys against each other in a later event, that's what he tried to do, this is just a failure of what happened.
But I will say this, look, besides Matt, everyone pretty much had Ryan knocking out Rolly. Okay, so that was a shocker. Okay, the Ramirez and Haney fight was the worst matchup. That's because De La Hoya talked him into it. Turkey doesn't know enough about boxing to be like, hey, that's a bad matchup. This guy's washed. He doesn't know any of that. So he just thought, hey, this guy used to be a champ. They're going to put him in. That's going to be a tough fight. He's going to come forward. He's going to test him. That's his lack of knowledge right there. But
both chin-ups.
Yeah, but the Teal fight, honestly, I mean, I don't hate on that matchup. Everyone was kind of thinking that was going to be a competitive fight. Everyone kind of thought that might even be an upset. So that didn't play out the way maybe people thought. I thought it was a little more competitive than the commentators were giving it credit for. But that fight and the main event, they kind of were their purpose. The worst fight was Haney one. Everyone knew that going in. Ramirez was washed. So I think that's the only one I could be critical for him. As far as the venue, I don't know if Matt wants to get to that already, but as far as that, there's other things to be critical about.
I mean, here's the issue with the Devin Haney fight is that you match up against Jose Ramirez to make him look good because Jose Ramirez has not asserted himself properly since like Amir Imam. And what was that, like 2017? Yeah. So this was specifically for him to look good, and he failed to do so because, in my opinion, look, he has a great case for that lawsuit now because Ryan Garcia ruined him. He is shot mentally. It's a mental issue because previously I think his offense was perfectly fine. He was a pretty solid offensive fighter. My questions were with the defense, and the defensive issues are obviously still there. Jose Ramirez threw that left hook once and almost sent him back to where Ryan Garcia sent him. So that's an issue still. But he has one punch. He has a jab. And the jab's not even that great. He's done for, in my opinion.
I mean, the only thing I kick back on that is it's a different weight now.
Yeah, they punching a lot harder at 47 for sure.
Yeah.
But
the had issue that is, like, had that been a 140, like, I would agree with you.
Look, there's no, I do
think that he needs to see a sports psychologist because it's in his head. That Ryan fight is in his head.
Hey, but you know what? You got to respect his condition.
Yeah, because Bill Haney Sr., Bill Haney has been keeping it in his son's head for a year.
Pause.
Yeah,
I can't lie though. This probably brought Devin's confidence back up, so he could comfortably say, "Oh yeah, that was the Osterine."
No, Devin will come good for that fight. He won that by unanimous decision, and he won it well. So he's now super confident. Ryan Garcia is not. That's why he won that leg back now. And he should have had
conditioning. Was amazing.
He shouldn't have took tune ups. These two guys should have fought tonight. They missed an opportunity there, Tucker Al-Sheikh, because now not many people want to see that rematch now, based on the fact that Ryan Garcia lost tonight.
You know what's funny about that, Neutral? I'll tell you right now.
Yeah,
that rematch is not a main event. I'm sorry.
No, thank
that
you,
is
man.
Not a main event.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That is not a main event. And
they should have had that tonight as main event, and that's the opportunity missed.
And you know what's crazy? Yeah. I think Devin Haney missed a great opportunity because maybe Devin Haney beats that the Ryan Garcia that showed up tonight.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is what I mean.
Because I'm gonna tell you right now, after that fight, Ryan Garcia is gonna bring Derek James to a little room like Goodfellas, and you're not gonna see Derek James no more.
That's a done deal.
Honestly, though, I'm still not sure that that Devin Haney would have beat, because Jose Ramirez was punching behind when he actually threw punches. He was punching behind Haney, and Haney was still, like, unwilling to open up. Ramirez could not hit him. And so if Ryan Garcia is doing the same thing like he did in the first fight.
Honestly, all Devin got to do is follow the
formula. Devin was afraid to get hit, and so was Ryan.
Hold their phone and paw at his little.
Here's why Ryan Garcia looked bad. And people are over. It was Rolly Romero that made Ryan Garcia look bad. Rolly Romero was someone that came in with solid fundamentals. He did everything. He did the basics really well. Devin Haney's always abused.
And he was pawing at their left and neutralizing their left hook.
Correct.
Yeah, sure did.
Go ahead,
you know what I'm saying? A one-trick pony, man. He's Superman. That's his kryptonite. You neutralized that left hook. He ain't really got much else. Don't get me wrong. He was landing a couple flush jabs in the fight, but other than that, he ain't do shit.
For southpaw, he's got a terrible right hand.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Jake.
Okay, so one thing that I'd like to keep an eye on is a guy like Devin, who is open for business with pretty much every promoter. I'd like to look at some of, like, the big, like, names out there, right? Like, obviously, Turkey Alshik is extending his hand out, and he's working with, you know, we saw Golden Boy on the card. We saw a bunch of different promoters on the card. Devin has a pretty good relationship with a Jake Paul. Jake Paul, I don't know how he's Puerto Rican, but he is. And
he just lives over there.
I know. But what I'm saying with that is, like, how big of a name do you guys would you think a Devin Haney is to be as a co-main? Like, if he was to go to Puerto Rico, if Jake Paul was to bring a fight to Puerto Rico, maybe it's a Serrano send-off, maybe it's him on the card as the headliner. But, like, how big of a name would you guys say a Devin Haney is to bring up a 140 guy like a Matias to 47 to try to, like, say, okay, Matias's feet aren't that great, but I'd, you know, test myself if the Ryan fight doesn't happen, right? If the Teofimo fight doesn't happen, like, could a fight versus a guy like a Matias move the needle and help him if he wins that fight? Like, is that too much of a risk? Like, I'm just...
No, that fight, first of all, if he fought the way he fought against Ashat Ramirez, he's probably going to fight even more negative against Matias. So I don't even think
But Matias can be outboxed if you box.
But no, right. Matias can be outboxed, but also Matias still has... some type of power left. Ramirez don't.
Yeah.
So is Haney gonna be willing to stand in the pocket and exchange?
That's the question. He gotta work on that.
Another question is the weight. Does Devin go back to 140 or does he make the step up to 147?
He can't make 140 no more.
Right. If he's going to 147, he's gonna need another tune up fight. So think of your opponents.
His face still looks sunken in even at 47. Ain't no way he going back to 40.
He was 143 at weigh-in, and he was still look the same as he did at 140 for me. So, you know, the natural step is 147. So you've got to look at matchups around there. But for me, he's not fought at 147, so he's still going to need a tune-up.
One more tune-up, and then the Mario Barrios fight.
So who would the tune-up be?
Well, you probably bring someone up from 140.
Yeah, Matias.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like a 40
he's
guy.
He's got to fight an actual 147 pounder. Stop thinking of bringing people up.
Or fight Barboza.
I hear what you're saying, but that's probably not how it's going to work out.
Yeah, the thing is Turkey's not paying for another tune-up for him.
Who said fight Barboza? Who said that?
Barbosa's 140, isn't
it? You got to go, man. You got to go. let me tell you something. As long
they're
as
ruthless in here,
I
mate.
Will never watch another Arnold Barbosa fight again.
I'm in agreement with Matt.
Oh, Matt, he had one bad night.
It's not one bad night. He's had multiple bad fights. It's the undefeated record that makes them continue to put him on our screen.
Yeah. I must admit, I was ringside for Carol Barbosa.
He's mentally not ready. I don't think so.
Carol was ass that night against Barbosa. So I get what you're saying, man.
Carol is ass every night unless he's fighting Josh Taylor.
That's right. That's true. I'll give you that.
Really got to consider getting dad out of the corner.
That's a big question. Did you see Bill?
No, I've seen it. Did you see when he said
hard feints, and then the next round, Devin actually landed a big fucking right when he hard feinted?
But his dad is putting him in danger because he won't do anything in the gym to change what he's doing. He's in danger against he's in danger against any real puncher if he continues to stay in the box. His jab is really good, but he's got to do it from an angle so he can throw combinations because he's got fast hands. He's very athletic. I mean, his conditioning is off the charts.
Matt has just told you he was going to fight on some B-ball level conditioning.
He got to get off the line.
He's going to be a counter puncher for the rest of his life, moving up in weight, fighting off the back foot. Matt told you.
He better off the back foot, honestly.
He was good tonight off the back foot.
Yeah,
he was quicker to the punch.
He just need to pop that jab out some more. That's it.
Exactly.
Combinations for him.
But that win will give him the confidence to do that moving into his next fight because he knows he's not fighting a Ryan Garcia with a massive check left hook, right?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Devin Haney's new style could take him back to a world champion, but I don't want to watch it. I wouldn't expect many knockouts from him, but...
You know, he's got the skills to be a world champion.
Really, if you think about it, that's his old style. He just had more offense before. Like, that's how he fought Kimbo. So, off the back foot, he just had a lot more of that jab. He was off the back foot pretty much the whole
time. Yeah, but when he fought Cambosis to what he fought, what he's going to fight in his next fight is a stone difference.
He didn't do that come forward shit to the Loma fight. And that's why, you know, Loma's a smaller guy, and he was able to take all his punches. So I guess that gave him, like, the overconfidence. Oh, yeah, I could fight a come-forward style. And then that spiraled into the Ryan Garcia seat where he tried to get a come-forward seat. And it didn't go in his favor.
Ezra, it's time to do your thing, Ezra. It's time for you to give out your report card for the card that you saw tonight and tell us why.
Oh, it was an F. Yeah. It might be one of the worst cards I've ever seen in my life. It was a terrible card. I kept thinking, like, okay, well, that was bad, but it's going to get better. And then it get worse, and I'm like, all right, well, Ryan's going to at least get us out early. He didn't even get us out early. This was terrible. This was a horrible card. This is an F-. I mean, this was a terrible card. Now, can I talk about the venue? Can you please allow me to talk about this venue?
Go ahead. Talk about the venue.
It was kind of strange.
Go on, Ezra.
Bro, it was awful. This was terrible. It was in Saudi still. They just moved it to New York, but it was still in Saudi. We still couldn't go watch it. We still were unable to go watch it. They had 20 people in there, and none of them cared about boxing. And then you have this thing, and it is a boring fight, so it didn't even matter, really, audience. But the thing is, there were people outside. There were still people outside, and they were like, nah, let's not get an audience here. Let's just come there, put a wall around it. No one knows what the hell's going on. Just walk around it, and no one's paying attention to it. They did the stupid car thing that took forever for the main event. They were stuck in traffic. It was a nightmare. This was a nightmare. It was a stupid idea. It was a dumb idea from the get-go. When I thought they were going to have a free fight with a bunch of people surrounding it, I thought it was a stupid idea then. It was even dumber execution. It was awful. What a stupid idea. Didn't build no momentum. Didn't create no hype. No one even knew what was happening this weekend. Pat McAfee was on ESPN saying, I don't even know if people know what's happening. This had nothing for it. It was a disaster, dumb idea. Turkey's going to have dumb ideas like this. I'm sorry, he ain't saving boxing, okay? He doesn't have the business acumen for boxing. I'm not going to say anybody else. I don't know about anything else. But as far as for boxing, he doesn't have no feel for this at all. He's going to throw out ideas that a 7-year-old would throw out. And what happened is he said, let's have a fight in New York. And then when they did the logistics of it, they said, that's impossible. You're going to have a giant thing of people, no control of it or everything. So he said, okay, we'll put a thing around it. Won't let anyone in besides VIP guests. And he had to still try to execute a stupid idea that he just said out loud way too soon without ever looking into it. It's a disaster. If you're counting on this guy saving boxing, you're going to be disappointed time and time and time again because everything he does doesn't grow any more attention or grow the sport in any way. And now, honestly, we had the guys that are supposed to be the future of the sport or guys that are supposed to be the big names of the sport all look terrible at the fight. All look terrible. That's not really his fault, but it's just all this right here to think he's going to grow to another level. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
You still got to give him credit for giving us a lot of the fights that we wanted that never would have happened.
No, he didn't give us no fight that we wanted that wouldn't have happened without him.
Wait. So you saying Bivol better be able to
have
without
him? That's the only one.
No one else would have put that on tonight.
You said Usyk Fury would have happened?
Yes, that fight would have happened.
Held that fight back for years.
Yes, that fight.
Yeah, Bevel would never have fought Chucky.
I can only give him credit for Beard to Bevel. That's the only one that wouldn't have
had. Yeah, I agree with you, Ezra. Yeah.
No, because the WBC was refusing to use offer stance on Russian fighters, and there was no demand for that fight, so it never would have happened. Usyk and Fury absolutely would have happened. The money would have been there for an undisputed heavyweight title fight.
Now, one thing
I don't know. It didn't happen until
one thing I want to say. Here's where Turkey Al-Sheikh fucked up. Okay, like you said, we're gonna have a free fight. It's gonna be free for all the people, right? Once you realized that New York was not gonna let you do no bullshit like that, and you had to gate it off or whatever, what you should have did was make the fight free on television. That's what you should have did. That was the play. You should not have made it pay-per-view. If this card would have been free for everybody, the same way they did the Golden Boy Arabian Latino night, I don't think anybody would have had a complaint. I don't think anybody would have had a complaint. But the fact that basically this was one of those Make-A-Wish Kid events where it's just a couple people in a room, like what they do when they go to Monte Carlo and shit, they have these black tie events where it's only a few rich people in the room, and you're here to you hire Drake to entertain you, to entertain the royal family. That's what this was tonight, basically. If he really wanted to be a man of the people, like people say that he is, this fight should not have been pay-per-view. It should not have been pay-per-view. And I'll go a step further. This was the worst pay-per-view that I've seen in a long time. This was the worst pay-per-view I've seen in a long... No, not ever, because I watched Holyfield versus Sherman Williams. That was the worst pay-per-view ever. Yeah. But this wasn't the worst
on paper. It just turned out that way.
Yeah, but you guys paid $80. I begrudge paying 35 British pounds, and I was absolutely fuming at the value for money. And I can only imagine the disappointment people who paid for that would have felt parting with their hard-earned money.
Listen, I'll be honest with you. I think people that even streamed the fight for free were disappointed. Like, the card sucked.
Hey, Matt, for free. Let me tell you, Matt, I was pissed off before this card happened that it was on 3 p.m. my time. Man, I'm glad that shit started early, because that was terrible.
Matt, I do want to say one thing, though, Matt. You gave a detailed view of Make-A-Wish, foundation. Were you a Make-A-Wish kid?
I granted a few wishes, though. Ask a girl.
Oh,
shit.
I just thought I'd get that one in there.
All right, let's bring in fourth class. What's going on, fourth class? You're on Brunch Boxing right now.
Hey, guys. Today we're talking about the venue. One thing I wonder about is how much the venue, not even really having a venue, made everybody fight worse, because boxers are kind of entertainers and they're used to feeding up energy. And when you have energy, they're not going to fight well. And we kind of saw that back in COVID in the bubble. So I wonder how much that made this fight suck even more than it would have. So that's all. I'll let y'all keep talking.
I saw a tweet. I saw a tweet that said that the only reason they fought bad and Tails Timo fought good is because Tails used to fighting in front of nobody.
Yeah, that's a great question and a great point. You know, that I feel the lack of energy. And do you know what struck me most watching it on the watch along? Clarissa Shields was ringside, and she was fucking devastated at what she was watching and witnessing ringside. So it was just a real bad idea on the night that, you know, on hindsight, they should have put a lot more thought into it. And I agree. You know the people outside? You know the big screens they all got around Times Square? Why didn't they show the fight to them?
They couldn't afford it.
That's why. That's fucking ridiculous. And like you said, that shit should have been free.
Listen. The area where they had to fight at is where all the homeless people be dressing up like cartoon characters and dancing.
They let them be the ring person. People be the ring people.
All they did was clear out the homeless people and put the ring up. That's it. That's all they did. They cleared out the homeless people for the night. But I still saw that Elmo and Deadpool snuck in the fight. I guarantee you the Elmo and the Deadpool were homeless guys. I guarantee you. I guarantee you.
What about the Hulk Hogan lookalike that got Ryan Garcia and Teofimo Lopez fanned out?
Yeah. That was insane. That was fucking insane. All right, Combat Sports, you're on, man. What's going on, Combat Sports?
What's happening, everybody? It's kind of crazy, man. I mean, I feel like the street ambiance was just weird. Like, I agree. Like, if you're going to bring a fight to a city like New York, you know, you could have just done MSG. You could have done something normal. But whatever, shout out. I think Teofimo had one of the best performances of the night, though, out of everybody. But again, yeah, Arena did play a role. So it's all good, though. It's all love. Thank you for the chance of speaking.
Problem, bro. See, what I think happened, and I called this over a month ago. They just wanted to do this fight in Times Square just to say that they did it, just to say that, oh, look, we did a fight in Times Square. Just this was just we did it because we can, not because it makes sense, not because it's gonna be a big event. Because I gotta tell you, this was not a big event. Just, make no mistake about it, this was not a big event at all.
Yeah, facts. On a Friday, people were working, rush hour, like it's chaos.
3 p.m. on the West Coast, 6 p.m. start on the East Coast, even for American standards.
I didn't realize it was starting that early, and we missed half the card.
Really? Sorry, Matt, you're blacking out there.
Yeah, you are. You out of pocket, bro.
Yeah.
Service, a little nervous.
It was 8:35 p.m. and I was fighting sleep. I didn't think I was going to make it to the main event.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, why am I tired so early? Like, this was a terrible... This was a terrible card, man. Like when
around 5:30, though, isn't that usually the time that you have your daily man call with one of your friends?
we spoke yesterday.
Easy.
But anyway,
Matt, does it get better as the weekend goes on?
No.
Yes. Canelo tomorrow, fight at 6 p.m. Saudi time.
That Canelo card is awful too. Dude.
It's bad. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, that Canelo card is bad.
Watch out for Jagba knockout Bacoli.
That's a good fight. Bacoli's,
he's getting knocked out. He's just as fat as he was against Parker.
Yeah, but the Parker, he flew in 24 hours. You know, that was a bad move on
Bacoli. Yeah, I don't fault him for that one.
Terrible move.
It shouldn't even have been allowed, honestly.
The bag, I feel you, but 24 hours, if you ever take a flight like that, that shit is crazy, bro. Just
a suicide mission.
That leg in the ring is unhealthy, bro.
Is I don't know what you think, man, but it's like when you look at the Google trends of like where Haney and Ryan, you know, like they're going to be most popular on the West Coast. So I just think it's kind of crazy. Like, I mean, for you East Coast fans, like I'm happy that at least for this event not being that great, at least it's over with and you don't have to stay up and watch it too late. And even for over in the UK and overseas, like better time that way. But I just think it's a disservice to like when you think about where these guys' core fans are really from. Yeah. Like Ryan's from Victorville, man. Like, Devin, whether it's Bay Area or Vegas, whatever you want to say he's from, that's the West Coast. And you're sitting in traffic thinking like, oh, wait, shit, the fight started already? Like, damn, I thought it was at night. Like, I was trying to find a bar. Like, some people were, like, hitting me up, like, hey, where can I watch this fight? And I'm like, they've already started, man.
I don't get why I have it over here if you're going to do that. I really don't. I don't get why you come over here for a reason, take advantage of the market. But like I said, they don't make good decisions. Well, this is a guy, if he's going to be the face of boxing, the head of boxing, it's going to be a disaster. It's going to go as south as it's going now. Okay, because this right here, there are no good ideas coming from them. They never execute the correct way. Even when they came to LA, they chose the weirdest venue to go to. Literally the strangest venue where you could be like, they never had anything like that there before. So this is what I'm saying, that they don't have the correct brains around the operation, and they're just spending and doing things just to do it, and none of it makes sense. So I'm honestly,
they should hire me. I'm sorry. Like I have great ideas that I need money to execute. I have some great
ideas. Matt, can I ask you a question?
Like, we would have put on a great event.
What's you're happening? A promoter.
When I heard Coppinger in the commentary, I thought they should have hired Brunch Boxing too.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Wait, if you're promoting, you've got two stars from the West Coast and two stars from the East Coast. Where do you have that fight?
Who's the biggest star? Okay. Yeah. And could that West Coast star draw on the East Coast? If they could draw on the East Coast, you have it on the East Coast. If they can't, you got to have it wherever the people
are
the most.
Would it have made sense for Vegas?
No.
Do you think?
No.
I bet in the middle.
I'll be honest. This wasn't a Vegas card. Like, this card was not a good card. It just wasn't a good card.
It wasn't. I have to agree. And the 2, 3, and 4 rounders that they put on as,
They had a fucking police officer fighting a firefighter.
I mean, what the fuck?
Wait, but hold on. Not too much. Because them stealing college football's gimmick and having a 40-year-old Fed fight a fucking firefighter was the best fight on the card. It was only down level. you had the hottest prospect in Japan since fucking Junto Nakatani put in a dog shit performance and basically fight a jerk even in his debut.
I hope Turkey learned not to allow talkers to book the card anymore. I hope that was a lesson learned to not follow talkers' Twitter account to book cards anymore.
Yeah. He's got to stop listening to these fantasists.
And I got to say, and I don't want to be disrespectful, I don't need to hear Jim Lampley no more. He's done.
He was glazing Ryan Garcia heavy.
Bro.
He
Forget about Glazing. This was the most negative broadcast I've ever heard.
You know what?
Like
Here's the thing.
These guys, it was almost as if they were having a podcast during the fight. They weren't even calling the action. They weren't calling what was going on. They were just complaining about what wasn't happening.
Can I tell
me what's happening?
Can I be honest with you?
Tell me what Devin Haney
to some extent that's correct, but you're right.
I want to say this. I found that, you know what, refreshing, because I have to watch it where top rate guys are getting pushed up when you're like, oh, wait, that's not happening. Or I have to watch it with Todd Grisham and them pushing
the Jim Lampley's old school, Matt.
You're watching crap. We're here with you.
Yeah. Jim is old school. He'll call it as he sees it.
Let me tell you something. Jim Lampley is a play by play guy.
Yes.
All the fucking actions. I don't need to hear your opinion. Call the fucking
action. That's true. Let
Antonio Tarver give it to me. Call the fucking
Compringer.
He did not call the action.
Compringer was terrible.
Yeah, you're right, Matt.
Stuff at times. It didn't make any sense. He was like, this guy was born this year. You're like, wait, what's going on here? Like,
fuck's sake.
What's going on here? What are you saying?
But Matt's right. And this is probably the most negative broadcast you've heard since Jim Lampley was last on a broadcast. It's a fucking issue. It's every and he contributed a lot to the quote unquote death of boxing, because it's every fucking fight with him. There's something he's whining about.
Well, he was right to whine.
He was just trying to be too funny.
He is used to classic fights from. He's been spoiled. You know, since his retirement, early 2000s.
When Jim Lampley said that he used to do fights with the photographer in 1974, 51 years ago, I said, get this old motherfucker off my goddamn screen. Put this motherfucker out to pasture. And then what really killed me, like, they're having a little anecdote. Oh, this guy has the fastest hands we've seen in boxing in the last 25 years. And Jim Lampley says, well, he's not. What about Meldrick Taylor? Meldrick Taylor didn't fight in the last 25 years, you fucking idiot. What year do you think you're in, Jim Lampley? I could deal without him. I definitely could. Coppinger has no. Listen, Mike Coppinger has the personality of a herpes. I don't need to hear from Mike Coppinger at all.
He was brutal.
And even Antonio Tarver was like Al Bundy, reliving his own highlights, telling you what he would have done. I don't care what you would have done, Antonio Tarver. I don't care about back in the day who was tough. I don't care. These guys were having a podcast during a boxing match instead of calling the action in the ring. And I couldn't. It's bad enough the action was bad. At least make the fucking telecast interesting. At least make me feel like I'm learning something. And I don't get it, man. I don't get it. The best performance and the production was ass, by the way. The microphones weren't working. They were doing interviews, and they were already in the middle of a question before the mic even started working. All right. Devin Haney, who hasn't fought in over a year, and had this performance that everyone's talking about, and not so in a good way, they didn't interview him after the fight. Why would we not hear from Devin Haney right after the fight in the ring? That made no fucking sense. I don't know what this telecast was, but it was ass. It was fucking ass. You know? So I don't know, man.
Boxing bullshit.
This was an ass. Yeah, this was
and on the production note, there were multiple times where they had the camera crane in the view of the shot of what the action in the ring, multiple times.
And you would think everybody was kind of in agreement that having Jim Lampley would be a fucking disaster, but everyone's caught up on nostalgia and him crying on every single interview. So they're like, oh, let's feel bad for this woman beater. Fuck Jim Lampley. He can't do his job anymore, and he fucking sucked tonight, as everybody said he would.
You know, Jim Lampley is awful. And I got to say, Antonio Tom was awful also. And I was very disappointed, but I guess that just goes to show how great the Showtime production team is, because they made Antonio Tarver look like a star when he was a color commentator when he was on Showtime. And I thought that he would be a welcome addition to the broadcast, but he was fucking awful. And to me, DAZN needs a new head of production. They need a whole new production team. They need someone to tell these guys, shut the fuck up. Let's stick to this. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Hey, let's not do this. Let's not do this. They need that. They really need that. Like, this was all time bad commentary.
That's I think to capitalize on that. I mean, I work in production over at NFL Network, and like that's I feel like a lot of it is whoever's in their ear telling them what they're doing, and like the delays with the car, you know, being in traffic. Like Jim, he knows, like, he's a historian of boxing, and that's going to, you know, make some people excited to listen to him and others just completely get bored by what he's saying. But he does not know, like, how Moro does. Like, Moro knows how to fill dead air. And, like, there's a trait to that that helps. And there was so much downtime where it was, like, to Tarver's credit, I don't think he knew when to interject. And then you got Coppinger, who has no idea what the fuck he's doing. So you're just like, okay, Jim's like, okay, do I talk? I'm not even on camera at all. Like, it was just completely awkward. And I feel like you could put some of that on Jim, because that's some of that's not his lane. But really, to go to, like, they got to get a head of production that kind of knows what they're doing. But it seemed like nobody really did. Nobody knew what they were doing. They didn't know what camera angles worked at what time. So I kind of put on that.
Totally agree. I mean, I grew up with Jim Lampley. I've got fond memories of him, but tonight I was a bit embarrassed for him. It's sad to see, you know, as guys get older at that age. He's not 20, 25, put it that way. So DAZN, quite agree. They need a new refreshing look. I would suggest looking at the 505 way, the way she does her watch parties. I would suggest that the DAZN look to the UK to see how they do things in production wise, because I think
They need to look to a brunch box. That's the way it's got to go. That's the way it's got to go.
Well, hopefully brunch boxing take a leading hand in these things, Matt, because some work needs to be done, mate.
Honestly, this was an awful production and broadcast from start to finish. Like, from the time that they announced the fight up until the final bell, this was an awful.
It was ass.
This was a tour de force in disaster. But this was.
It was the worst possible outcome that could happen.
We couldn't have bombed any more from production to the matchups to the fights.
Yeah. Hey, listen, the big winners tonight, Rolly and Teofimo Lopez Sr. Teofimo Lopez, listen, I know he was
senior
under the influence. Yes. Listen, he might have been under the influence, but he coached his ass off tonight. He was great in the corner. He was great in the corner.
I'll tell you what, Fred.
It seems like everything he told Tio to do, when Tio did it, Tio did well.
All right.
So he was great in the corner. Now, he was probably...
Matt, could he have walked a straight line?
Probably.
Did he have done the alphabet backwards?
No.
Could he have touched his...
All right. Let me ask you a question, Ezra. Who was more turned up, Teofimo Lopez Sr. or Nonito Donaire.
Bro, they were right there with each other. They were right there with each other. I will say this, though. Nonito Donaire was doing the most riskiest corner things. It was actually pretty amazing to watch. I was just starting to record it. He was throwing, jumping off, landing like a cat. I was like, wow, this is actually pretty crazy.
That man is an athlete, man. All right. You got the rundown for tomorrow, Ezra?
I better start writing it right now, honestly.
Oh my God. Ezra, it's 11:30.
Not for me.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. All right, listen. I appreciate everybody that joined us tonight, man. Shout out to my guy, Jake, man. You finally got on one of these, man. It's about fucking time, Jake. Appreciate you for joining me, man. Shout out to Combat Sports, Stacks 2 Trill, my guy, Trey. Neutral, always neutral, my guy. Shout out to all y'all, man. The official white guy bunch boxing, my guy, BB. He did win the Bellini Award for Cracker of the Year. It was a self-given award, so don't say it was me. He awarded himself that. I would never use that.
Well deserved.
Just so people know. Yeah, well deserved. Well deserved. He definitely is Cracker of the Year. Definitely. But we're going to be back in the morning. We're going to do a full preview of tomorrow night's Canelo card. And I hope if anyone tailed my best bet of the day, make sure y'all hit my Cash App. If anyone tailed my best bet of the day, make sure you hit my Cash App. Because I told y'all, knocked down within the first six rounds at -135, you're basically doubling your money, ka-ching. Make sure y'all hit the Cash App. You're welcome.
And I also gave you the all three fights for Go the Distance. I did post it up, so that was a banker bet for me. Made a few bucks.
Yeah, and I gotta say, Huey, to take Tia to go the distance was really good, man.
Absolutely.
Good. I wasn't sure about that. That was a good call by you. I was not sure about that at all, and I think that was like almost double your money. Also, by the way, so. Yeah, that was a good call by you, man. Very, very good call, man. Listen, it wasn't a good night of boxing, but it was a good performance by Rolly Romero. Shout out to Rolly. Shout out to TGB, PBC. Sam Watson was there. Louis DeCubas was there. My man KB was down there. They were there in support of Rolly, and Rolly did them proud. Two-division champion. I don't care what none of y'all say about these veggie belts.
Big up, Rolly.
Two-division champion, goddamn. Yep, big up, Rolly, man. But this has been another edition of Bunch Boxing. Like I said, we'll be back in the morning, 11 a.m. Eastern time, 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, or TJ time, as Ezra calls it. Listen, shout out to Huey, the producer. Shout out to the COO of Bunch Boxing, Mike. Shout out to Ezra Boxing. I am Matt. We are Bunch Boxing, and we are out.